Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Again, today we have another fabulous time in the Lord and the beautiful program laid out for you and lesson on today. We're going to be talking about the bread of life on today. As you grab your Bible, we're going to be looking out at from the book of John chapter 6. Verses number 51 through 63, in the feeding of the multitude, Jesus demonstrated his power to nourish and to bless. And we're going to take a look at that on today, how Jesus made the provision and blessed his people. John chapter number 6, verse number 51 through 63 reads on this line, I am blessed. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for my life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among them, saying, how can this be? This man give us his flesh to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this saying, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciple murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Again, John chapter 6, verse 51 states, and this will be our focus on today, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And let's take a look at the word of the Lord on today. It says, bread is the one food that is common to almost every culture. Some people take bread in long, crusty loaves, while others make theirs into thin, flat cakes. The bread popular in some centuries or countries keeps for days without spoiling, yet others bake their bread fresh every morning. Bread comes in a variety of shapes and the various ingredients, but it's important an important part of every person's diet. Bread is one of the most versatile items on the menu. In North America, it is sometimes the main course like pancakes, often a dessert such as cake, or often as a complement to the meal like toast. Sometimes it holds things together like hamburger buns. One can slice it and crumble it and pull it or carve it into an edible soup bowl, from a round loaf. How fitting that Jesus would describe himself as the bread of life. He is essential to the success and contentment of every culture. Ethnic tradition does not leave him confused or uncomfortable. He discriminates against no one. James 1:17 states, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus not only satisfied every culture, but he meets every need. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. He freely gave his body to be broken and battered so that he might heal the wounded spirit and nourish the deprived soul. He holds no parts of himself in reserve, but stands ready to strengthen any person who deserves or desires his help. Hebrews 4:15-16 is an invitation to all, and it reads on this line, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He is indeed the bread of life. Let's take a look here at the feeding of the multitude and look at this hungry crowd. Miracles always draw a crowd. As Jesus began to heal the sick, word quickly spread. Crowds gathered, multitude followed him, hoping to witness a miracle. Their interest in watching Jesus work was so great that they followed him from days without eating. Matthew 15:32, let us know. In our lessons today, Jesus had sought a mountaintop retreat, only to look up and see the multitude have climbed up right behind him. A natural hunger for the things of God exists in every person. This spiritual hunger is evident in our quest to understand science, to explore space. It is obvious in the face of masses that fill huge stadiums to watch humans compete. The fortune paid to sports heroes and movie stars testify to human hunger for something beyond this ordinary life. A person will never satisfy that hunger, however, unless he allows it to be led him to the bread of life. God has chosen to display his power through his church. The uproar created in Jerusalem in the second chapter of the book of Acts continue to attract people to the miraculous power of God today. A Holy Ghost-filled congregation will always ginger the attention of the spiritually starving masses living thereby. Now, the desperate disciples, and let's take a look at them. The disciples were a little bewildered. Why was Jesus expecting them to feed this crowd? He knew their meager resources. Philip pointed out that it would take the better part of the year's salary just to give every person a little portion. Andrew had apparently already surveyed the crowd and determined that the only food available was one little boy's lunch. That was hardly enough to satisfy this multitude. The disciple was overwhelmed when they compared the task Jesus gave them with the resource in their possession. It seemed he was asking the impossible. They saw the crowd. They recognized the need, but none could see the solution. We heard the command, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You'll find that in Matthew 28:19. We see the teeming masses in our huge cities. Our shrinking world brings us into a contact with the billions around the globe who are in desperate need of the bread of life. The enormity of the task overwhelms and discourages us. We think our small group of believers can ever nourish never accomplish such a celestial task by ourselves? Fortunately, we are not alone. Jesus empowers us to fulfill the task before us. Now, let's look at the powerful Christ. We just talked about how Jesus will enable us to get the task done. Let's take a look at that. Jesus was not alarmed. He conducted this whole exercise for the benefit of his disciples. He already knew what he was going to do, John 6:6. Undaunted, he took charge of the situation. In feeding the 5,000, Jesus demonstrated how he planned to use his church to accomplish his work. Commissioning his disciples to deal personally with the hungry multitude, Jesus had no direct contact with the crowd. He filled every hungry mouth through the effort of men who carried bread and meat that had received from the Lord. If the bread of life is to fill our hungry world, sincere disciples must gladly share with their received from the master. The Lord performed the miracle of the multiplying the food as the disciples distributed the food throughout the crowd. The power of Jesus was manifested in their lives as they obeyed his command. These men, acting solely on Jesus' word, took handful of the fish and bread and watched it feed hundreds as they pulled it apart piece by piece. And that is the key, being able to obey the word of God and even that which the man or woman of God is directed by the Holy Ghost to share with the people of God. One could only imagine their thoughts as they took those tiny pieces from Jesus and walked through the huge crowd that waited. What is excitement that they must have felt as the miraculous power that they had observed in Jesus now worked through their own hands. The greatest miracle displayed on that hillside was not that Jesus could simply multiply the fish and loaves, but what that he allowed humans to participate in the miracle as he multiplied the fish and bread they handed out. The 5,000 hungry was filled, not just appeased. When they had eaten all that they desired, 12 baskets laden with bread stood in silence witness of his power to provide more than enough. Their needs was fully satisfied. Truly, our Lord is not interested in temporary solutions. He deals in permanent fixes. His power is sufficient to meet every need, solve every dilemma, fill every longing, and heal every hurt. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The disciples' mistake was to assume ownership of God's problem. The multitude was there to see him. The desire to feed them was his. The disciples were then simply in obedience to his call. Among themselves, they possessed nothing, the authority nor the power to handle the problem. They found no solution when they tried to handle God's problem with their own resources. The task of making the bread of life to the world and taking it to the world is impossible for a disciple's budget. However, God never given an order for which he was not already devised the solution. The problem encountered while disobeying his word are his to handle. He still desired to display his power through the effort of people who have surrendered their lives to his will. Indeed, Jesus displayed his power in the lives of those who walk by faith in obedience to his word. The perspective Christ. Mankind's agenda is often at odds with God's plan. These disciples, witnesses of God's power, were planning to make Jesus their king by force if necessary. Knowing their intention, he slipped away. how much people have lost by trying to force God into a mold that they develop instead of allowing God to reveal his plan in his own time and way, such rush to make him fit their preconceived notion. However, this does not all sway God. He perceived mankind's way, and he will not adapt his will to suit them. If they persist, he will simply withdraw. Jesus demonstrated an ability that modern business leaders grew rich by teaching. They stay focused on his goal, stay focused on tasks, and refuse to allow popular opinion to slow his progress. He did not stop to enjoy the adoration of the crowd, but he purposely moved on to the next item on his agenda. He understood why he was in this world and was determined to complete his work. His commitment to his call led him to successfully accomplish it, as he described in his prayer in John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 17:4. Jesus commissioned his church in Acts 1:8 to continue his work on earth. The church must be perceptive as to the times and season and should keep his call clearly in focus. Believers should not stop their work to enjoy the applause of the crowd. They cannot change course to suit the wishes of modern society. Most importantly, they cannot modify the God-given commission to fit the tradition and philosophy of the crowd. God's people individually and his church collectively must stay filled with his spirit so that they will remain true to his call. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's take another look at the receptive disciple. There is little doubt that what they had just witnessed overwhelmed the disciples. Even though darkness had fallen, the day still surprised for them. As they tried to row back across the sea, a strong wind began to blow as the storm intensified. They saw Jesus walking on the water towards the ship. The men were frightened, but he called out to them, recognizing them. Yeah. They welcomed him into their boat. He climbed into the vessel, and immediately John wrote, they were safe on the other side of the shore. What contrast a day can bring. Only hours before, the sun had been shining, and the disciples were rejoicing over the miracle God had worked through them. Then darkness had fallen, and fierce waves rocked their boat. The miracle-witnessing men of God were frightened and hurled in their boat. They were struggling to row their way through the storm. Then Jesus appeared. They gladly received him into the boat, and immediately they reached their destination. Jesus never leaves his disciple alone. When they are living in obedience to his word, his constant nearness is assuring. When things get beyond human control, he always knows just what to do, in good times as well as bad. He truly keeps a vigilant watch over his people. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, let's look at eating the bread of life and the ambition of the crowd. Eventually, every person revealed his personal passion. Jesus confronted this crowd with the fact that they only followed him because he fed, his food satisfied their craving. They did not seek him because they desired to serve him or even to see another miracle. They came, the Lord pointed out, because he has met their need. Demonstration of God's power must go hand in hand with his compassion. Miracle impress people, but unless they receive something that lasts when miracle is over, they will not be truly satisfied. When Moses appeared to Pharaoh to allow God's people to leave Egypt, the heathen matched some of his God's display of power, the sorcerers did. While God's power ultimately prevails, as it always will, it is obvious that our enemy understands mankind's fascination with the supernatural. However, God did not call his church to compete with Satan or one another, for that matter, to see who can perform the greatest miracle. Rather, he has called his people to serve their fellow man. This act of selflessness reveals the true nature of God. And we'll see that over in Mark 9 and 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Our commitment to love people must surpass our desire to witness miracle. Jesus told his disciples that our love for others would be the true significance of his discipleship. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, for if ye have love one to another. There is no lack of supernatural power with God. He can and will demonstrate that power through his church. However, in his true church, love and service is a way of life, and we must still continue to demonstrate that love and service in and through the church of God, in the marketplaces, and all throughout our lives. True manna. To the crowd Jesus addressed, bread was more than just food. Too many of them is represented life itself. They ate it in an atmosphere of respect, always pulling pieces from the loaf and breaking bread and never cutting it. Because bread was the main ingredient of their diet, they comprehended well the message Jesus spoke that day. However, they could not envision him being as necessary to life as bread. They would follow him as long as he satisfied their natural hunger, but they did not give him a chance to satisfy the spiritual craving of their soul. Mankind's natural inclination is selfish preservation and satisfaction. It is quite easy to be content when you are well-fed, warm, and comfortable. We spend so much time satisfying our physical desire that as far too often little time is left to pursue spiritual things. Carnal means will never change mankind's eternal destiny. One should give serious effort to spiritual pursuit. The true manna is the spiritual food, the word of God, that will strengthen a person's soul. John made Jesus' identity clear when he said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1 and 14. Jesus declared, for the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven, and that giveth life unto the world, John 6, 33. Further he proclaimed, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but that the will of him that sent me, John 6 and 38. To obey his word is to eat of the true manna. Modern man has the same jaundiced view of Jesus. One may ask how the teaching of Jesus could influence his heart yearning for fulfillment. The pleasure of the world appears so naturally to the lust of our flesh that we bury the non-essential call of the Word of God beneath our passionate rush to fill our own carnal path to satisfaction. Mankind continue to disregard the true manna. Now let's look here at the living bread. We just talked about the manna. And one of the significant things that we brought out is that that bread was never sliced or cut, but it was broken and things. It was always a breaking away or a pulling away of the pieces from the loaf. Now let's take a look at the living bread. Knowledge is not always easy to accept. It often shatters a long-held notion and family tradition. The introduction of truth can radically alter value system and lifestyle. Some citizens of Thessalonica found the gospel difficult to accept, and you'll see that over in Acts 17, verses number 1 through 9. However, they could not deny its power. They described it well when they said it had turned the world upside down. No one who partakes of this living bread can remain the same, for it ties the believer to the eternal world of God. The temporal no longer satisfies. This world's ways are not relevant to heaven's value system. It gives a completely new definition of life. Let's take a look here over at 2 Corinthians verse number, chapter 4, verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Even 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a builder of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. In the Jewish home, fresh bread was baked every day. If breaking large amount, some will carry their dough to the village baking hut or to the baker's street. Because yeast was not readily available, the baker would leaven the loaf by pinching a small amount of dough from yesterday's mixture. Then before he baked the new batch, a small portion of the now leavened dough would be set aside so that he would leaven tomorrow's bread in the same manner. In every home, there were always fresh dough, ready for satisfying tomorrow's hunger. Jesus is that living bread. He not only paid the price for our sin centuries ago, but he also remained near today, ready to supply what we need. He is not the slate bread of an ancient era, but he is the living bread that is fresh for every day. Regardless of how much of the living bread one has already taken, there remains more than enough to satisfy any need. Just as the five loaves quenched the hunger of more than 5,000 people, 12 full baskets remain. God's goodness seems to multiply more we use it. His grace is sufficient for every situation, both of today and of tomorrow. Now let's look here. At another point, the offended crowd. The Jews could not comprehend the lesson Jesus was teaching. Perhaps their tradition was too ingrained, or maybe they simply did not want to change. Whatever the case may be, many of them found his teaching offensive. God's words will always produce a reaction. The prophet declared, "So shall my word be that it go forth out of my mouth, and it will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." Isaiah 55 and 11. No one can hear the word of the Lord and depart unaffected. The hearers either will draw nearer to God or will move farther from him. And the scripture over in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8, reads on this line, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he shall satisfy. But unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builder disallow, the same is made the bread head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them which stumbleth at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. These unbelieving disciples found Jesus' teaching dissatisfying and stumbled at his word. Paul proclaimed to the Corinthians, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greek foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. One should carefully analyze his desires and motives as he studied God's word. We should not select the truth we enjoy, but we should seriously apply God's word, the living bread, as he intended. The disciple who rejected the preaching of Jesus left a great example for us. We must take his word and eat the living bread. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, let's look at another point here. And this next section we're going to look at is that the believing the word of life, believing the word of life, the despairing. Let's take a look here. Not only everyone heard the truth desires to be conformed to it, many will witness the miraculous, but will turn home and settle right back into their routine. Some will even taste of the power of the bread of life, yet revert to the empty tradition. Even though Jesus knew which one would reject him, he still allowed them all to hear his word and benefit from his presence. His church must continue to offer this living bread to every soul. We cannot allow prejudice or preconceived ideas to keep us from sharing the gospel with every person. Everyone desires a chance to taste of God's goodness and decide it for himself to accept or reject him. The believing disciple, while many do reject the bread of life, there are those who refuse to deny the power of Jesus Christ. Their receiving him has transformed their lives, renewed their hopes, and kindled a fire in their heart. They have experienced him in the fullness and truly becoming new creations in Christ. Therefore, the Bible said, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. These believers have surrendered to the simplicity of the eternal truth of God's word, choosing to build their lives upon that sure and solid foundation. And so it is. We must also choose to build our lives upon that sure and solid foundation. Now, the carnal mind miss spiritual things. You cannot receive spiritual thing with a carnal mind. Like the rich young ruler, or young man who came to Jesus with the question, many turned sorrowfully away because of their inability to comprehend God's eternal value system. Like the Jews John written about, many cannot fit to the word of God within their tradition, so they discard it. However, those who sincerely take his word to heart find their understanding illuminated by it. It is that light that gave Peter the simple answer when Jesus asked if he too would leave him. As Peter watched other disciples walk away from the Lord, he summed up the entire situation with 30 short words. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou have the words of eternal life. We believe and we are sure that Thou art the Christ and the Son of the living God. John 6:68-69. That same light of truth brightened the mind of today's believer who has found the living bread to be the source of life. Just as Jesus promised, Jesus still calmed the storm for those who follow him in faith. He is still concerned about meeting every need. We stand in spirit along with Peter. Some may leave. Some may choose their tradition over the gospel. However, we will stay right here, safe in the church he has established, for we were, where else could we go? He is the bread of life. Only he has the word of eternal life. And we must recognize that Jesus, he is that bread of life, according to the word of God here in John 6, verses number 5:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall or she shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. And we must recognize that he's able to feed the multitude and satisfy our longings within our hearts and within our mind. And he's able to supply all of the needs, even for that endeavor or that call that God has placed upon your life, child of God. God is able to supply every one of the needs, that no one will go lacking for anything. And all we have to do is turn our hearts and minds back unto the bread of life, and God will supply all of our needs. And we've seen, as we talked here, in the progression of the time and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to be your bread of life, and daily eating from the word of God, daily sitting at the feet like Mary did, and choosing the better part. What is the better part? Is to, before starting your day, stopping and reading a verse of scripture, or reading a psalm, or reading a proverb. And when you're reading, in so doing, you're reading and partaking of that living life, that bread of life and things. So that will supply that need for your life throughout the duration of that day. And so as we daily take a moment to spend time with God, spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, spend time just stopping and meditating on the word of God, perhaps taking the Psalms out and reading and thinking upon the Psalms and what the Psalm is saying. Like the scripture over in Psalms 136 say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, and for he is good, and his mercy endure forever." And just stop and take a moment and meditate on that and think how good God's been to you. You know, if you look over your life and look over where you've been and all of the vicissitudes of life and the cares of this world and different things that you've gone through, and you can really testify that God has been so good to you. It may even look dark and bleak now, but God has been really good and gracious to your children. Stayed the hand of the enemy, stayed the hand of death, opened doors, gave them scholarship, blessed them to go on and get their education. They stayed focused on God and stayed focused on the things of the Lord. One of the things that I want to go back and to reiterate, too, from this particular lesson, too, is that how Jesus, and we should take note of this, how Jesus stayed focused on his goal. And not only that he stayed focused on the task. He refused to allow popular opinion to slow down his progress. He did not stop to enjoy the adoration of the crowd, but he purposely moved on to the next item or agenda. Not only that, he understood why he was in the world and was determined to complete his work. His commitment to his call led him to successfully accomplish it. Now, I want us to take a look here, because also many business people have taken the same principle and applied it to their lives and have become very successful around the principle that Jesus has already laid out and was an example for us. And remember, the scripture does say that God has given us everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. And so here, being focused on the goal and stay to the task and refuse to allow popular opinion to slow down the progress. And I think that those right there, those three prongs are key for us as we stay focused on that which God has called us to do, stay with the task, and don't get swayed or confused by what people are saying. And don't slow down the progress. Keep moving full speed ahead on the work that God has given into your hand. Number two, don't stop for the applause and the approval of people. People are not going to applaud you. Matter of fact, they will be jealous about what God has called you to do. Also, purposefully move on to the next item or the next thing. If you have finished that piece that's on the agenda, then move forward to the next thing. Don't get stuck. Don't get stagnated. Move forward. If you know that that job or that task is completed, don't stay there. Move on to the next thing that God has given unto you. Then the next thing is that you must have a determination in your heart to complete the work. You must be determined to complete it. Then the next point will be your commitment to the cause that will lead you to successfully completing or accomplishing that task. Now, I just want to share real briefly my testimony personally. It was always my desire to finish my education. And I was a teenage mom. I had my daughter. I got pregnant at the age of 14. I had my daughter at the age of 15. And I wanted just to share with those that are teenage mothers, don't you ever give up and don't you ever stop. Keep at it. Keep moving and progressing forward in things. God will bless you. God will enable you and help you. Well, this was for myself, has been several years ago and things. And so it was always my desire. I was a freshman in high school when I had my daughter, but I had a beautiful mother that was very supportive and stood by my side. And what happened, how God divinely orchestrated things, that during our winter break at school, I had my daughter while we was out on winter break. And all I missed was about maybe 2 weeks, if that much, of school. And my mother said, I want you to go back to school. I want you to finish your education. And so I went back, and she helped me with my daughter. I went back and finished my education that school year out, and my mother was very, very supportive and helpful of me, even when I didn't know or understood or comprehend the depth of everything that was going on, because I was a baby myself and things, but she stood strong by my side. And so when I wanted to go back to college, I went ahead and graduated from high school, and when I wanted to go to college, what happened was is that I decided just to drop out of college and finish raising up my children. And some 20 years later, it was still my desire to finish my education, to go to college. Yes, I had opportunities and things, but it would just seem like I wasn't committed, couldn't stay focused on it and things, but I never did finish. But God knew the desires of my heart. And so he allowed me to go back to get my, I got a certificate to start out. Then I got my AA degree, and then I went on and gotten my BA degree, and then I went ahead and gotten my master's degree. And now I'm halfway through with my doctorate degree. And so I come to encourage someone's heart that I had to stay focused in on that task and focus. And not only that, during the time that I've gotten all of these gracious things from the hand of the Lord, not only that, but the Lord blessed me to birth out a church, to be the founder of a church, founder and pastoring the church during the same time, getting my degrees and things. Not only that, but he blessed me to birth out a women's group called the Daughters of Destiny. Not only that, I was able to, by the grace of God, to begin to do conferences and still evangelize a little as well, and things, as well as doing all of the many other things, books that I have that need to be published and things. And I'm talking about God. I ate the living bread. I sat at his feet. I came to him, and he miraculously turned what the enemy may have thought would have been my demise as a young teenage mom, because during that time I always thought in my mind that it was over. I totally messed up for my family, messed up for my life, my future. But God literally, I've come to tell you, God literally turned things around and worked it out for my good. And I come to tell whoever is listening and things on the radio and things around the world, or even via the tape, I want you to know God is able. He is the bread of life, and he's able to turn your darkness, your midnight, into light. He's able to shift it. That's why I declare him. That's why I decree that he is still yet, sit high and look low, and can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. And I want you to know that testimony don't stop there. My daughter, who has been married now for 15 years and have beautiful grandchildren, I have beautiful grandchildren at the age of 11 and 9, and her and her beautiful husband, who live not too far from me, they are involved in ministry. She have not only that, have been called to the Russian community, and she went by faith. God called her there. She didn't know Russia. She didn't know how to speak it. But God miraculously dropped the words down in her spirit and heart, and the language down in her spirit and heart. And so she speaks Russia. She speaks Spanish, and she's moving forward in ministry as well. And so God is so profound. Sometimes we minister together. And so what the enemy would have meant for evil, God turned that thing around for our good. Yes, for our good, for my good. And I stand to testify afoot and boldly that God is able, child of God, to work things out for your good. Yes, your good this morning. Yes, this evening or this afternoon. Whenever you are listening, stay focused. Stay committed. Stay to the task. That's what I tell the saints in at Shekinah. You got to stay on your post. If you call to be the usher, be the best usher in the house of God. If you call to be the psalmist, to sing songs of praise, be the best one that will take God's people to the presence of God through song. If you are the musician, strive to be the chief musician in the house of God. Don't just be that, but strive to be the best in the house of the Lord. And things, because he's worthy and he's deserving of your best. If you on the motherboard, just don't be a mother on the motherboard, but be the best mother. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God to touch into the lives of young mothers who are raising their children, who are married to their husband, that homes and family could be strengthened. That is the first institution that was ever established was God's family. And we as people need to cultivate that and preserve it as never before. And we need women who know the way to speak into the lives of young women and saying, baby, love your husband. Teach her how to be a faithful wife. Teach her how to be a chaste wife to keep her home and things. We need to go back to that to build. Teach her how to train her children and teach him how to keep his family together and things. And when trouble comes their way, teaching them how to not to separate or not to pull from each other, but come to each other, calling on the name of the Lord as never before. Teaching them how that when one and the other one is down, how the one that is up should pray for the one that is down and reach their hand and raise that one that is down up. We need to go back to the teaching. When I'm talking about the old landmark, I'm talking about the teaching and the training of the saints of God of how to be holy, chaste women of God. And I'm not talking about, I'm not a clothesline preacher and things like that. I think that women should look good. I think that women should look their very, very best, and I think that there should be modesty and chastity as well and things like that as well. I think that there should be a balance and things, but I think that a woman should look her ultimate best and things because she represents her family, she represents her God, she represents her church, she represents her husband, she represents and things. And I think you should look good, mother, and things. The woman of God should look good. I think you should. And so I want you to know, child of God, and things, as we teaching and training and things, imparting back into the lives. So if you that mother, teach. Call them to the side. Take them for lunch. Invite them over to eat and things and teach them because some don't know. And things. Sometimes people look and say, well, they know better. Well, they may not know better. Maybe they didn't have an example before them. Maybe they came from a home that was shattered and broken and things. Maybe they need someone to take them up under their wings and just nurture them back to life and show them the way. And maybe they don't know. But with what God has placed down in you and things, you can help. And things, and we not look down our nose upon someone because perhaps they really don't know and they're crying out in their hearts to God, Lord, I want to, but if you just show me how. And God saying, I wish the mothers would raise up and teach the young ones and things. Yes, sometimes they may not want to hear it, but guess what? We can go back down on our knees and say, Lord, give them an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto their church, and speak the word that a wise woman builds up their home. A foolish woman puts it down with her own hand. Perhaps that child of God never heard that scripture, and she may be in there just fussing and things, tearing things down with her own hand, but she knows no other way. She has no other option or no other choices because that's the only way she knows. But maybe you, who is a woman with wisdom in her tongue and things, can go and teach her how to know that a soft answer turn away wrath. You can say it, but say it with softness and kindness, because it's going to turn away wrath. Amen. And so, child of God, I want you to know that we, God's people, God is calling us. This is a man of God. There are so many young men that needs to know who they are, their identity, to stand strong. And we need to speak it back and prophesy into their life and speak their destiny into their spirit, heart, and mine. I don't know bullshit today. Oh God, oh Lord, help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to stay focused on the task that you called us out to do, Lord. We recognize that you will supply our needs, oh God, for the task that you called us to do, Lord. Now, Father, empower and equip, oh God, the church as never before, even those that are called to the corporate arena, Lord, of leading even in the corporate realm, Lord. crown their head with wisdom, Lord, teaching them how to go in and out among the people. Give them the strategies. Give them, Lord, the wisdom and the word that they need to lead the organization, dear God. Father, even in our homes, Lord, help us to lead with precision and exactness that bring glory and honor unto your name, O God. Our daughters, the single mothers, O God, in the name of Jesus, let them not, O God, succumb, O God, to the weight of parenting, but Lord, give them the renewed strength, supernatural strength, dear God, in the name of Jesus. And oh God, we'll praise you. We'll give you the glory and the honor, dear God, that's due unto your name. Oh God, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent Jesus is thy name, oh God. We worship your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. We pay salvation to your name, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, into that situation. Come, Lord Jesus, into that circumstances. Come, Lord Jesus, turn that situation all around. Come, Lord Jesus, set the crooked places straight, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, Lord, do it. Use our life, oh Lord, to your glory, Lord Jesus, and for your honor. Use us, oh God, and we'll praise your name and give you the glory and the honor that is due unto your name. Oh, blessed Savior, do not pass us by. Oh, blessed Savior, oh Lord, our Lord, bless your women. Bless your men. Let them be strong in their faith, strong in their conviction, strong in their commitment, strong in their dedication, strong in their determination to be the men and women of God that you call them out to be. Lord, let their feet be like hind feet. Let them not give up on their children. Let them not give up on what they see, oh God, happening, Lord. We know that you can break a band and destroy a yoke, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are Christ, our Redeemer. You're able to redeem out of the hand of the enemy, oh God. You are the resurrector, Lord God, in thy name, Lord Jesus, resurrect their desire for you, resurrect their heart for you, and the things of God. Give them a yearning in their spirit and a hunger for the bread of life that only you and you alone are able to satisfy. Lord, put angels across their path, oh God, and Father, we'll praise your blessed name. And Father, we thank you and we give you the glory and the honor. Come on and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God is our prayer on this day. And oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. I hear the Bible say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away and only one question away. All you have to do is ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I pray that you have been blessed on this session today. I want to encourage and admonish you, don't you dare give up, don't you dare back up, and don't you dare throw in the towel. And if you've thrown it in, go back and get it and start all over again. God loves you with an everlasting love. And as I always say, if you ever want Pastor Arm to come, I'll share my testimony and my love for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with your women group or your church. Perhaps you have a group of teens that perhaps need to hear my testimony. I would love to come and things. All you need to do is just contact our church or send me an email via Helen Orm, HelenOrme at MSN.com, or you can just call 425-793-7000. 5933 and request, and we will, my administrator will get back in contact with you and talk with you and look at dates and times that will be available. We want you to know that God loves you and loves your children and your children's children. God can take a mistake and make it to be a blessing unto you. My daughter and my family, we are such a beautiful, beautiful family and love the Lord our God that God has so graciously blessed us. Be thou blessed, my friend, is my prayer. And don't you ever, ever, ever stop serving God. Go back and look again. Get a new set of lens and watch God bless you all over, in and through your entire being, that his glory may be displayed upon your life. I pray that you've been blessed. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you. And I look forward to hearing from you. And if this has been a blessing to you, go and rate the show and things. Leave a comment or leave a message. I know God is going to bless you. It's no accident that you tuned in on today. Dream again and believe again. God is going to do it. God bless you.